At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it is the refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we are here until 11 o'clock in this second hour of Computer Talk with Tab. And we are lucky enough to have Jonathan Mays with us. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning.
Jonathan is the chief, editor-in-chief, I should say, of the Restaurant Business magazine. And he had a story about Starbucks and their attempted implementation of AI. And so, Jonathan, we're in IT, and we hope AI is going to do what it says it's going to do someday. So don't get us wrong when we come, when we have these types of stories. We're not like saying, nanny, 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 we told you AI sucks. No, we're not doing that. However, it is important for folks to hear when a company as large as Starbucks, who tried, you know, for 9 months or so to implement this inventory counting tool, which was supposed to save all sorts of time and energy, and then they pull it. So you had a story about this, and I was like, if anybody could talk more about how AI might help Starbucks and what it didn't do, we'd have you on and chat about it. So what can you tell us about this story?
Well, in this case, AI sucks. So, I mean, that's really the only real way to put it. It didn't work.
Yeah.
They tried it. They were really gung-ho about it, at least publicly. They were, you know, they instituted this AI-powered automated inventory program.
Yep.
That you take this, you take a, it's a tablet, and then you take pictures of or videos of your inventory. It's supposed to count it.
Yep.
And it's supposed to do two things. It's supposed to free up the baristas to serve customers, but it's also supposed to help eliminate these product shortages that Starbucks has been dealing with for a while.
Mm.
They tried it and baristas hated it. And if it doesn't take you long to find a complaint from a barista. I think my favorite one was someone wanted to punch a wall over it. you know, there were various four letter words associated with the program. If you look on Reddit and other places,
yeah.
And then they absolutely cheered the decision to end it. So it didn't work.
Right. And again, you talked about trying to solve a problem, right? So, you know, as a geek, for me, I guess the issue you just described was that they always had shortages, right? Now,
yes.
Inventory technology and shortages, like having enough burgers or having enough coffee, should be handled with your ERP system rather simply, right? So store 25 tends to go through more caramel than store 24. How do you figure out if you need more caramel? Well, store 25 uses X average amount of caramel, right? You just order a little more caramel. It doesn't take a rocket science. I mean, I went to the UConn School of Business in 92 and we were figuring that out back then. You know, you don't need AI to tell you well, this store uses more caramel than the others. Let's order a little bit more. So thinking you're going to use some sort of crazy technology to wave in front of video to have it look at the caramel supply is kooky, right? Right? It's, you can't figure this out the old-fashioned way, like with an ERP system?
Well, I mean, the problem that they had was that they had an issue with the frequency of inventory counting, and you still need to count inventory inside your shops.
Sure.
And that had become a real problem. The other issue, I think, with Starbucks is that a brand like that tends to be subject to sort of random spikes in demand on certain drinks, which is one of the issues that the restaurant industry just in general faces these days.
Yeah.
Is that you like social media just jumps on a particular topic and then it can drain you of supply and things of that nature.
Yeah.
Which is one of the issues. And then they just had some supply chain challenges and stuff like that. But
right.
But I mean, you're absolutely right. It really shouldn't be up to that, but you know, they had an issue with inventory counting and they hoped that AI could make the whole process easier, and apparently it didn't.
11,000 stores deployed it sounded like, right?
Quite a bit of stores had deployed it, and they just they had, and you know, the it's as I said, they were really gung-ho about the whole process.
Well, that's the thing about AI. Everyone's gung-ho.
Yeah. Well, the problem that we're facing, just generally speaking, in the restaurant space,
yeah,
is a lot of the AI technology that is being used to try to make life easier inside the restaurant. Some of it's really good. You know, there are management programs and things like that, you know, back of house type stuff,
yeah,
that kind of makes life easier for managers. You're seeing a lot of restaurant chains sort of deploy technology that's designed to help, you know, managers with training to sort of regulate whether they're doing the right things or not on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that generally works relatively well, but a lot of the other technology that the industry hopes will remove labor from the restaurant space hasn't really been working all that well. And this is just sort of another example where AI I just don't know that it has the full potential in the restaurant space to sort of ease labor the way a lot of people hope.
Well, that's obvious here in this case. Again, my thinking of it very simply put, I mean, you have three squirts of caramel in your drink, and how many times did you sell that drink? And it typically has three squirts of caramel. How many squirts are in a bottle? Well, if I do how many drinks with caramel with three squirts, I should be able to rather quickly figure out how many caramel bottles I have to order. It just seems that somebody is – I'm not sure if it's the generation of business leaders these days that are trying to outthink themselves versus the simple to wave a tablet in front of it to see how much caramel was used or not just seems like a really goofy, stupid approach to me versus having
maybe. But but with Starbucks, you're missing the point. One of the points you're missing on that process is that the customer can customize it. And so one of the challenges that Starbucks fundamentally deals with in operating their coffee shops is that it has invited the average customer to customize their drinks.
I want an extra squirt.
So we get back to that extra, I want an extra squirt of caramel sauce.
Yeah.
By the way, that is exceptionally profitable for them.
Well, right? They're going to charge you, right? They're going to charge me for the squirt.
Right.
And
so that caramel drink you're talking about, let's say normally has three squirts.
Yeah.
But you say, I want 5 squirts instead. And there are customers that do this. It has been a thing on social media for years.
Sure.
That business. So every extra squirt is 80 cents.
Yeah.
The profitability on that 80 cent pump is insane of caramel sauce is actually insane because, you know, it's really only a product cost because all it is from a labor standpoint is somebody pressing a button.
Correct.
So it's amazing they're profitable. It's like $1 billion business for them.
Right.
In the United States every single year. But it also makes it really challenging to keep pace with supply because you can't actually dictate, you can't fully determine how much caramel sauce you're always going to need all the time, because some customers are asking for more, or they might take that product that doesn't have cold foam and then they add cold foam through it. It does make things a bit more challenging from a supply chain side. And that's one of the things that they were hoping, that was one of the problems that they were hoping to solve with this, is just to increase the amount of counts at the store level so they know exactly what they need on a more frequent and a better basis than they've been able to do. And it just didn't work because customers still had to, or the barista still had to count it all.
They still had to double check. So I hear your point about the customization, but I would still contend over a month, the average is average out.
Well, I guess the point is that it's one thing to know how much you sold in a month.
Yes.
It's another to know how much will be sold the next month, because customers might order things differently next month than they did in the last month.
Yeah, so that's business.
It's also future predictability.
Yeah.
But knowing physically what you have on hand always provides you a baseline, in addition to knowing that historical experience.
It's a business question that shouldn't require AI, is my point. My point is, somebody tried to Rube Goldberg this squirt count when you knew the guy took 5 squirts and this guy comes every month and here's your average amount of squirts per month. Please make sure you have enough bottles to handle that amount of squirt. And if it's so wicked profitable,
Go ahead and order another bottle.
I mean, the perishability on this. I mean, it just seems to me that you wake up and smell the coffee. Buy an extra bottle of squirt.
You're not wrong. I mean, you're not really wrong. And obviously, there are ways that they can count inventory because they are going back to those ways of counting inventory.
Right.
And it gets back to this idea. We're using AI to try to make life simpler.
Right.
But we also introduce additional complexities and additional frustrations
massively.
And and again, just thinking about the restaurant space in general, we've seen that, like voice activated drive through in the AI, for instance. So if you've obviously probably heard of this,
we have
a drive through at some restaurant and an AI takes your order.
Yeah,
it is really clunky.
Right.
And when it doesn't work, one of the problems that I have with some of this is we're introducing so much technology in the restaurant space right now, more than we've ever had over the past 6 to 7 years.
Right.
The restaurant industry is more technologically advanced technically than it's ever been by a long shot. It was always sort of the Luddite in the room of consumer companies, far behind on literally every piece of technology until relatively recently.
Yep.
The average restaurant today has fewer customers than it did in 2019 before all of this started happening.
Mm-hmm.
The average restaurant today is less profitable. And then when we're adding some of this technology, it creates some headaches with the baristas. They're trying to make their baristas' life easier.
Right.
They introduced this new technology. It made it worse.
Right.
And imagine now, you also do this on the customer level. You introduce technology. It doesn't work to the way it says it does. That frustrates customers to the nth degree. It is much more frustrating when technology doesn't work than when you're dealing with an idiot at the window.
Oh, you're
preaching
to the really choir there, man. You're preaching to the choir. Yeah. We're in the business of nobody calls us up because their IT is working beautifully. We're in IT support, so you know,
see the negative.
Yeah, but yeah, you're right. So if you think about it, Jonathan. They put in these, just imagine these tablets had to be maintained. They had to pay for the AI software that had to be maintained. And all that cost was going to go into, somebody said, there's some ding-a-ling had some calculation where they said, we're going to improve the amount of squirts by this amount. So you're not going to have more waste or you're going to be more ready to squirt, right? I would assume that's the idea here. Either you're ready to squirt or you're going to have less waste.
Yeah.
And you have to calculate all that cost of AI, all the management of the tool, training your people on how to wave the tablet around, right? Hoping the internet stays up so that your account is existing. You know, all that connectivity has to happen. All the IT guys in the data center who have to make sure that the servers are working just to count squirts when you already know how many squirts you sell. And that's part of your POS system. Your point of sale system knows how many squirts you have. You don't need all this. So I agree with you that all this technology – may not make things better for everyone. And we see it all the time. We want to simplify. You don't want to complicate. You know, you don't want 15 servers when you can do it with three, right? You don't want 15 tools right. when you can do it with two. So, you know, you talk about this too, the drive-through stuff. Every time I drive up to a drive-through, did you order it on an app? Did you use the app today? No, I'm just coming to tell you I want a number two with a Diet Coke. How hard do I need an app for that? Do I need an app for that? But the other issue too is, Jonathan, the cost of labor. I mean, the funny thing about this with Starbucks is those baristas are the most whiny of people on the planet, right? I mean, they're always giving Starbucks a hard time. So and I say that with all love and due respect to baristas, but the point is you're making them want to replace you, right? The industry wants to replace you because of the cost. They would rather invest in an AI that didn't work than just pay you to do the counting. If that doesn't give you a warning about your approach to these businesses, $1 billion worth of squirts or not, somebody's got some math here that said they wanted to replace you. And is that what you're seeing too in the industry?
Well, I mean, yes and no. That's a really loaded question. We could be here all day.
I know. I'm sure I'm going to have baristas picketing out here, but it's...
First off, a little bit in defense of baristas.
Yes.
Here. These are like more engaged, active employees than almost any other restaurant chain seat.
Sure.
Baristas in coffee shops are phenomenal, phenomenal employees because they stick around. You know, if you go to McDonald's, the person that you're dealing with is almost certainly not going to be there in a year.
Right.
If you go to Starbucks, that barista you're dealing with might be a career barista or somebody who has been there for several years and is just much more motivated.
Yeah.
It, you know, make them check. But anyway.
And that might make me want to go more often because I see Bob, he's a great barista and he always makes my coffee correctly. I hear you. Yeah. There's value there.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're right. Restaurants do want to reduce the labor inside their restaurant, and they want to do it because, you know, about a third of the cost in your average restaurant is in the form of labor.
Yeah.
And it's really, really, really difficult to lower that number. It is exceptionally difficult. In fact, if you think about it, you know, restaurants is just a very different business than, you know, like your traditional office business. McDonald's is like almost like a little manufacturing and service business.
Yeah.
So it makes burgers inside a building and it employs people to make these burgers and to hand them out to customers. The process of automating that whole process is so costly because McDonald's would have to do this 13,600 times in the United States alone to automate that process. And it's just so enormously expensive. It doesn't work. So they can't.
Right.
Is the answer. So all of the labor savings we're talking about here in this case is really on the margins, on the absolute margins.
Yeah.
And the risk for the restaurant space is because when they're using the AI, for instance, let's say this thing worked.
Yeah.
And then, you know, in theory, they might be able to reduce the number of labor hours inside that particular coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in theory, to make the coffee shop more profitable, it didn't work. And now there is all this sunk cost into this entire technology that is probably a bigger problem than I think we really appreciate that sunk cost in it. So the problem is then that store would theoretically have fewer people to deal with actual customers.
Right.
And that makes service worse. A great example, and I think you guys are going to appreciate this. I went to a Wendy's.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of companies have gone to this sort of AI greeter because they can't really do full-on AI order taking in the drive-thru.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll go up to a drive-thru and then the AI will greet you and then eventually a person will step in to actually take your order. So I went to Wendy's. It was about like a quarter to noon. So it was lunchtime.
Yep.
And there was one car ahead of me, just one, in the drive-thru. And I waited several minutes for that person to be served. Eventually they got up and I got up there and the AI greeter greeted me. And so I did what a normal person does and I start giving them my order.
Yeah.
And then immediately the person stopped me, said, no, he doesn't know, he being the robot, doesn't know that I'm busy. And then well, it cuts me off, and I waited several more minutes. It probably took me like 15 minutes just to put my order in.
Yikes.
Total.
And
the point is, so the technology just made the whole process worse.
Right.
But in this particular Wendy's case, that Wendy's cut the number of people that they had in the restaurant. And right. that made it, because it was not busy by any stretch of the imagination. So that Wendy's cut the number of people working inside that restaurant, which essentially made that one employee much, much busier than they really needed to be. And that's ultimately what this technology, that the problem with this technology is, it might be giving operators permission to cut labor inside the restaurants when they need more people to serve customers better.
And that's a fair point. So I was looking for this too, to have to talk about this story, to find out what Starbucks motivation was. What were they trying to solve for? I mean, I would contend they know how many squirts they had. So, I mean, I was giving the baristas a hard time that they were cutting staff, but let's just say they weren't trying to do that, and they were simply trying to free up staff to actually serve more squirts,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is would be great, because if you're ever at a Starbucks, and I'm only there when I have to be because I'm more of a Dunkin' Donuts guy, you're in a line. You're in a line that goes on for miles, it seems. I would love to have more people squirt faster. So that might be what they were shooting for. Could you maybe, the next story you do, talk to Starbucks and ask them what they were trying to do? Because that would be a good story, John.
Well, they were actually, technically, now, Starbucks, in their defense, has actually added people inside their coffee shop over the past year. And it's actually worked. And guess what? It's worked remarkably well. Their sales recovered this year.
Awesome.
So they have done that. What they were trying to do is free up time.
Yep.
For baristas to serve more customers. So they're spending less time actually counting inventory. That was legitimately what they were trying to do.
All right.
And to try to ease product shortages, because the baristas were so busy, they didn't have time necessarily to count the inventory to the extent that they should.
Speaking of time, we're out of it. And we appreciate your time this morning, Jonathan. And we're going to post your story. And thank you again. And if you have any other AI and restaurant stories you want to talk about, let us know. All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
Jonathan Mays, Editor-in-Chief.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's really refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Of Restaurant Business News. We'll be right back. My kind of music. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock, and the software that Starbucks tried to use was called Nomad Go.
Yes.
And we should have talked about it. They actually had a blog post on their website, all proud of being part of Starbucks. Then, of course, you click on the link and it's a 404 error. Maybe we'll try to get Nomad Go on the show, not to rub it in, but I'm sure they have some successful implementations of their product.
Well, yeah. Somewhere it works.
Yeah. Well, we'd assume. Let's go on to your calls. Jim has been waiting patiently the whole half an hour
there. Thank you for staying on, Jim.
To help us with a printer solution for past callers. Are you still there, Jim? Are you fall asleep?
Yes, I am. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, sir.
Love listening to your show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I encountered a similar situation with my own printer, laptop, and phone, and I hit a flat forehead moment. I had a VPN running.
You had a VPN.
The VPN was blocking my access to my local.
That could be true.
Yeah, you were the what's called the hairpin NAT wasn't really responding.
You can configure that.
You can.
It's called split. You're going to split tunnel that thing.
Yeah, you can split tunnel the VPN, but it depends on what kind of VPN you're using to change that setting.
Well, if his cousin Joey Bag of Donuts set his network up, he may have not done that. Or,
right.
You know, he may have even set up two different networks, put the laptop on one, put the printer on another.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So that kind of thing can happen, too. So I thought I'd bring that up just in case. You guys can use that in your bag of tricks as well.
Yeah, no,
well,
it's a thing. It's
yeah,
a thing.
The only thing that I'm going to toss out here is the fact that he used a USB cable to the printer and it failed. And that wouldn't have anything to do with the VPN because there's no networking involved there.
Right.
But the important thing is
yeah.
that what Jim just called about can affect any network printing.
Right.
And that's anybody true. Else in the future that might bump into this is going to be interested. So thank you, Jim.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Well, I don't scrub floors and I don't do windows, but I've done some things for a while, and every now and then I hurt my forehead pounding it on my desk when I come to
Well, yeah, I'm sure that was really kind of cool that you realized that, and that's awesome.
I was going to say, just the fact that you were able to come up with this tells me that you have skills, as we say in the business. So
don't
thank
my
you.
Boss. He'll never believe you.
That doesn't matter. I know better.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Jim. We appreciate it.
Have fun, guys.
You too. So, yeah, he's right. I mean, that would be those things.
No, he's 100%. That does get in the way a lot of times.
Your VPN may not know where your local printer is.
Because it can't see it.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, the hairpin NAT, which is another whole deal, but there you go.
NAT translation. All right. So we're here at 11. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. Make sure you say happy birthday to Carolyn when you call. FBI has been warning about this, and we've been talking about it too, but there's a phishing kit out there. And we say phishing kit, literally it's crime as a service.
Yes.
So rather than busting into your CVS and stealing all the deodorant and selling it on eBay, you could go into the dark web and be a cyber criminal. That way we can at least get our deodorant unlocked. And you could actually now, this kit from the FBI's warning of these bad guys, they literally will customize it to you. You pay a monthly fee, right? Which is gross, right? This is disgusting that this exists. We used to call these guys script kiddies.
Well, that's what they are.
They still are, but it's even worse. You could be a deodorant thief and become that. Now you could be a cyber criminal. And basically, they're going to trick you into handing over your Microsoft 365 credentials. Microsoft 365 is one of the biggest targeted cloud-based service out there, right? Because lots of businesses use Microsoft 365. About 50% of the companies in America, or even in the world probably, use Microsoft 365. There are still plenty of on-prem servers. Sorry to tell you, but there are. And Microsoft is still selling them.
Yes.
They're a little harder to target in this case, not
just
in
for this thing,
particular
though.
Thing.
Yeah.
They're a good target for all sorts of other reasons too. But in this case, this Kali 365, this is the kind of stuff that we have to really deal. We're all dealing with, and you need good ITDR to detect whether or not whoever's logging into your account is in Uzbekistan, right? Versus in Canton, right? And these guys are literally selling these tools to the bad guys to trick you into putting in your credentials, asking you for your password, like I joke about on the show all the time. And then they even ask you for the two-factor, right? So the bad guys can then input it into the actual 365 tenant, and now they're online with your email. And then when you send the email out to for a $2 million invoice for whatever you're saying and you want them to ACH the money to this account, the bad guys can tell you to ACH it to that account, which happens to be their account.
Correct.
You shouldn't be even doing that anymore, by the way. If you're using any kind of email to tell people where to ACH anything, you should be fired.
Yeah, it should never go that way.
Yeah. Just use the old-fashioned phone or another method of communication, but putting the actual numbers in email these days is just asking for trouble. But it's out there, and this is just one example of these criminal kits that are out there that these guys can use. And they're all in all sorts of different languages, so you can actually have this configured in Arabic, Chinese, Dutch, English, French, German, Italian, Japanese, Korean, Polish, Portuguese, Russian, Spanish, and Turkish. So $250 a month or $2,000 a year, and you even get support.
Yes. The bad guys that run this operation will offer you tech support if you want to be one of these script kiddies that's deploying the phishing campaign.
Right. Now, I don't know what the penalties for running this internally in America are, but you know, we would recommend thumb screws and basically solitary confinement. And again, you're going to, of course, use cryptocurrency because that's a thing still. Even though I don't know if you read the story, but Strategy, you saw the company Strategy that's trying to be they constantly buy Bitcoin. They've actually changed their strategy and they stopped buying Bitcoin. They're buying bonds. They're buying bonds now.
Oh, really?
I wonder why.
They're buying real securities.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
might be a problem there. Eventually, if we can get rid of cryptocurrency in some way, shape, or form, or properly regulate it so you can eliminate the ability for it to transfer to all those countries I just described, this would go away. But for now, clearly the penalties are not high enough and the ability to stop it is not there. I'm sure the FBI is working hard to shut down these dark web stores where you're – because I've got a whole presentation that I give showing the actual stores that are out there that show all the sites you can go to buy this stuff. So if you think you're a business out there and you think it's just some one dude in some – you know, in Uzbekistan is coming after you. No, this has become institutionalized. These people buy these kits, they start their own hacker farm, right? And they're not even sharp. These are not sharp people. They're literally using the tool. Literally, they could have been stealing the deodorant out of the CVS the day before. It's like what we joke about, they could have been selling sneakers the day before. They could have been literally doing that and they decided to get into cybercrime because now it's been made so easy to do. And what that should scare businesses into making sure they have the proper protections in place, which is still not foolproof. But if you have protections in place that block URLs, that block inappropriate emails, that block attachments, that block whole networks, like we block the RIPE network from most of our client systems, which is typically the third world. If you don't do these things, two-factor authentication, if you don't have security awareness training, if you don't have vulnerability scanning, if you don't have MDR technologies in place, if you don't have EDR technologies in place, you're literally just waiting for one of these ding-a-lings to trick you into having your customer send the $2 million payment to China instead of you. So I'll put this link up here for you so you can see what's going on out there. It is definitely not a good thing. We'll step out for a quick break because we kind of went long on the first half hour there and make sure Carolyn can catch up with commercials. Also, please support our drive here to support Tucker. He's the little puppy that's going to go and support a veteran with some sort of PTSD or stress from being a veteran for us. Text Tucker to 91999 and you can go ahead and be part of this drive to help a veteran who's going to get some help by just having a dog to hang out with and help him get through the day. And we thank you in advance. We'll be right back.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Realtek 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Realtek 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh.
Oh.
Somehow they call this music. No, just kidding. Top song this time. Top song this time last year, according to Carolyn. Sounds like auto-tune to me. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Yeah. Feel free to get online. And as we wait for your calls, we do have a – I like this story. Just in on top of the – you know, I cursory hear of it. Dennis told me a little bit about it before we got to the break here.
This is a story about something going on in California that may affect your computer, even though you don't live in California. Or maybe you do. I mean, we do have listeners around the world.
Yeah, yeah.
At any rate, computers may soon require age checks because of this California law.
Good.
And the age check would take place apparently at the time that it's set up.
Mm-hmm.
So you would buy your computer.
Yeah.
Whether it's a Mac or a Windows, you'd fire it up, set it up. You go through the process. One of the things that you're going to have to do is verify your age.
I like it. I know it's going to be complicated and painful and probably won't work, but it's a good step in the right direction.
Yep. But here's the thing. Yeah. What happens with – it's one thing to make Windows and Mac require age checks because Microsoft and Apple can put that logic into the operating system.
Yeah.
That's not a real huge issue for them.
No.
But what about – things like Linux distributions.
Mm.
Those are open source projects. Mostly, a lot of them are maintained by volunteers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, there is Fedora that is a corporate version of Linux and a couple others that are corporate.
Yeah.
With free for the community versions that you can use. They might be able to integrate that too. But there are other distributions that are not... You know, there's no bank of programmers that can add this.
May not solve
so
all.
What are they gonna do?
Right.
I mean, assuming that a particular distribution doesn't get an age check built into it at all, what happens in California? Is it illegal to own one of those computers?
I
don't know.
Probably.
I have no idea.
Probably, Dennis. Oh, the other thing, too, is, I mean, our own attorney general here is in the news talking about Roblox, right? And I am aware of Roblox. We've talked about it. It's been some pretty bad news about it as far as how adults and children can interact on these platforms. And he's making a point about the fact that it's creepy, right? They should be policing this so that if you're under 18 – you shouldn't be able to interface with any adults other than your own family, I would think, on a platform like this, period. Right? It should be just defaulted. Now, the fact that the attorney general is going after one platform, fine. Just fix them all, my friend. I guarantee you right now a 13-year-old can't go on the gambling app for Mohegan Sun and gamble. They can't.
No.
Somehow, that magically works. Right? If that magically works, I contend, Attorney General, you could simply say, for all software that are used by Connecticut children, that technology must also work. And guess what? They'll either not make it available in Connecticut. Roblox will say, well, I'll take my marbles and go home,
which
is what they all do.
Yeah.
But if we just make this something that we all do, we're trying to actually keep kids off the keep the predators away from kids. If we care about the children, which has been almost every law has been put out that way because we're doing it for the children all the time. How come we're not doing it for the children? You're welcome to go ahead and target one platform, but that just seems utterly ridiculous to me. If you have the ability to do it with gambling, you should be able to do it with any other platform you want. If you're under 18, you may not. And if you are over 18, you may. Simple as that. Should be easy. Casinos figured it out. Why can't you? Let's go to Charlie in Avon. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing all right. So I got a question. There's been some talk in the public schools and the elementary schools particularly about this program called iReady that they use for math. And there's been some pushback on it because some people say too much screen time. I don't really particularly care about the too much screen time for the kids. I think that they probably get too much screen time at home with Nintendos and other stuff.
Sure.
But the program has this like spastic little animals that pop up, and it kind of seems like it's just takes away the critical thinking of kids these days. They're not using pen and paper anymore. They don't actually make any logic out of it.
Mm.
They can kind of just keep on guessing until they get the right answer. And it's just, I feel like it's a very strange system. There's also, from what I understand, a class action lawsuit against this particular program in, I think, California.
Yeah.
Something about data breaching. I don't know if you guys know anything about this.
I don't. The first time I'm hearing it, but I'm reading that over 13 million students use it, grades K through 8. So it is definitely leveraged pretty heavily. Khan Academy, there was a product called Khan Academy that was very, very popular and probably still is to help people with math. So there is a big issue with screen time. I do contend that's probably the case. However, if you can't beat them, you got to go where they are. And if you can gamify and also educate at the same time, you could have the best of both worlds versus trying to get them to use pen and paper because, I think that ship has sailed.
I agree.
Breaches are going to constantly happen as well. That's nothing we can do about it other than make the penalties more and more stiff every time you have a breach. But, you know, if we can actually show test scores improving with this tool, which never is the case, right? Nobody ever connects outcomes with what they do. But if they did, I don't think I'd be against it. Now, this is just a cursory look. We're just looking at it right now. We'll put a link up for folks. But we're trying to figure out ways to help kids learn, and I would contend their people's hearts are in the right place, I would assume. And I don't know any more than that. So we'd have to talk to others who are involved with this. I can see if we can get iReady on the show. And
My main issue. So I mean, I guess like you know, I know that the screen time. We're telling the kids that you need to be able to use AI to move forward in the work, and that's what's going to be part of your daily activity is being able to use this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we're teaching them young, but I also feel like it's the program itself is just sloppy in a way.
Yeah.
Where I watch my own kid doing it, and I'm like, I walk past him, I'm like, what the heck is this thing? Like,
yeah.
It looks like he's at one of those bounce towns. There's lights and things and bings and noises and everything going off. It's like crazy.
Well, so I'm not a child psychologist, but I can tell you what got kids focused when we were kids is a lot different these days. I mean, the amount of stimulation that's required to get a kid to pay attention these days, I would contend, is a lot higher. I mean, I don't know. Again, I'm not a child psychologist. I have no idea. But I would contend that for us, we were looking at 8K graphics, and we were like, oh, wow. You know, we were putting in floppy disks waiting for the thing to load. And we were like, oh, wow, look at that little 8-bit dragon that sort of looks like a blurry dragon. Ooh, look at it walk. Now, these guys, it's like a casino, right? They need to be able to be paying attention to whatever they're doing. So somebody has figured out that this might work. But again, could it be harming? It could be. I just don't have enough information to say whether it is or isn't. But I don't think we can beat the fact that they're using screens, and if we can get them to use the screens to actually learn something versus scroll or whatever they're doing,
right?
Maybe it'll be a benefit. Maybe they can visualize But we were talking about my with my kids just yesterday evening in fractions, you know, to visualize a fraction. And if you're in kindergarten versus trying to figure it out in middle school, it would be nice to understand 2/3 and 1/3 and how to add fractions together by visualizing it.
Right.
So there could be some benefits. I just don't know enough about it, Charlie, but I would contend you should reach out to your school and have them talk about how it's going to supposedly improve things. Maybe they can show some examples.
They have already. We're trying to figure out something. But it's just, I don't know. It's just a very, if you ever looked at it, you would probably say, I think to your point, it's almost like a casino.
Right.
You know, they have all the lights. They have this to keep their attention. But
right.
I think that there's better ways. I understand that we need the screens, and I like the screens. It's because, I mean, I have two monitors in front of my face all day.
Yep, me too. I have three.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so I get it. But I don't know. Maybe it's the distraction part of it and the losing of the, what I feel like they're losing the actual thinking thought process of it.
Right. We're going to rewire their brains differently than our brains were wired. Which was probably the case from when our parents grew up too. Their brains were wired a lot differently than ours too. So I do count my blessings that I don't have any children right now, K-8. I don't know that I could deal with it. And even when I brought my kids up, they were dealing with technology as it was still in its infancy. But I would contend this is every generation's issue, right? So I would hope that they're going to do it to improve things, and they've decided that this could be a way to do so. It could also be a huge failure, like Starbucks AI inventory tool. Who knows? You know? So
I mean, listen, I grew up, I remember when I was in sixth grade, I think it was the first time that I ever had a computer in school, and they showed me the Oregon Trail.
Right.
You know?
And you're, right. And you were like, wow, that's kind of cool. You can see the whole Oregon Trail. Whereas we had to go to the encyclopedia, open it up, and you know, you had that nice printing ink smell, but you only had a couple pictures of the Oregon Trail. Now you can actually see it in 3D probably. You probably could be on it virtually now if you wanted to be. That's amazing how far we've come. So I don't know. I can't say anything about it better or worse. If there is a way for them to connect outcomes, which has always been a problem when it comes to education, social promotion's a big problem. I mean, everybody gets moved up. You start with a C and you know, nobody gets a D or an F. That can't be good for the quality of our educational output. But who am I? I'm just an IT guy.
Well, I mean, you know, it's like the no kid left behind. Yeah, we're going to leave no kids behind. But, man, some of these kids
should
be left behind.
And they don't know what they're talking about. So, well, Charlie, we'll look into it a little bit. But thank you for making us aware.
Yeah, thanks.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
You got it, Charlie. We want to thank all you guys for joining us on this cold, gloomy, windy Saturday here in Connecticut. I want to thank Jonathan Mays from the Restaurant Business Magazine, who talked a little bit about AI and Starbucks.
Yeah, that was excellent.
If you missed that, feel free to subscribe to our podcast over at the Odyssey app. And please text Tucker to 91999 to support a vet who's going to get this little puppy all trained up and supported, and you're going to be able to contribute a little bit to that. So thank you, Carolyn, too, for producing.
And remember, we want you to be geeks, too.
See you next week.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it is refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.